Good morning, everybody. We left off on Psochim, Daf Beis on the base. The Gemara quotes a Braisa from Maseches Tainis. In the first Perek in Tainis, Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, it says in our Gemara Tanan, but they correct it, it should say Tanya. Tanan means that it's a Mishnah, Tanya means that it's a Braisa. The Gemara quotes a Braisa, there's a Machlokes HaTanoim. When does the Tanis begin? When do you have to start fasting? In the days of the Tanaim, they would make a Tainis Gishamim if there was no rain. So the vegetation wouldn't grow, the animals would die, the people could die. It would be a suffix sakana to the people's lives. A couple of years ago, the Rabbanut was considering the possibility of being Goza Tainis in Eretz Yisrael because there was Atzires Gishamim. So the older Rabbanim, the old-time Rabbanim, were making fun of them, that now they have the ability to desalinate the water. So there's never any problem. It just cost a lot of money to desalinate the water from the Mediterranean. But in the days of the Gemara, until recently, they didn't have the ability to desalinate water. So if there's no rain, means that there's a possibility of a sakonis nefasha. So then you're goes in tainus. But if there's a chashash, then it may cost you a couple of $1 million. You're not goes in tainus for that. So they were not goes in tainus, and it rained anyway. So the Gemara has a machlokes HaTanoim. When does the Tanis begin? It says on this side, Tanis Yud Beis Amud Aleph Ayin Sham. You should know whenever it says on this side Ayin Sham means that there's a Shinui Nusach, Shinui Girsa. Sometimes it says the reverse. Sometimes it says here it says Asa, there it says Mutter. Here it says the same thing, but the names are different. Here in our Gemara, it's presented, the Brice is quoted as if it's machlokes between Rebbe and who's the other Tana? Forgot already. Different. No. In our brayse, it's a machlokes Reb Lezer ben Yankif and Reb Shimon. Shimon Samus Reb Shimon Baichoy. There in Tainis, it's a machlokes between Rebbe and Reb Lezer Reb Shimon. So that's why it says on this side Ayin Shom that the names are different. It's important always to check whenever it says Ayin Shom. It's always a good idea to check up all the Gemaras where the member is quoted, to see what it really says. But sometimes there's a major shinoi nusach. Okay. So there's a machlokes HaTanaim when the Tanis begins. And the Gemara says that there was an issue over here. It does make sense to make a din derabanan for half a day. It should either be a whole day or not at all. So the Gemara says, so how can there be one Tana who holds that the Tanis only begins at Alois HaShachar, but the day begins the night before, from Tzeis HaKochavim to Tzeis HaKochavim. So Gemara says, no, that you have Takonis the Rabbanon. We have dinim that only apply in the daytime, dinim that only apply in the nighttime. But the Gemara sounds like it's saying that the Tanis really only begins in the morning. The Tan who holds Alois HaShachar holds the Tanis only begins in the morning. So you people are too young, you wouldn't know this. Years ago, Rav Soloveitchik used to give a big public shiur on Gimel Shvat. He had yahrzeit for his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, who passed away, I think, in 1941. And he gave a shiur, starting from the first yahrzeit down, he gave a shiur every year on his father's yahrzeit. So the Ruba de Ruba of the shiur on topics and orachaim. One year he gave a shiur on shtaris. He said, it's not really right. He has yahrzeit for his father, and he's saying things on tzitzis and tefillin and kiddush and abdon and benching, things that he learned on his own. He's going to say over something that he heard from his father. So he said a knockout shiur on shtaris, and there were a few thousand balabatim came. People would fly in from out of town to attend the yahrzeit drasha. It was a big, like a celebration. Like you would greet people to say a good niyam tov. So they greeted each other when they were walking to the building, to the old building, a freilichon yahrzeit. It was a big celebration once a year. So that the one time that the Rav Soloveitchik gave the Shiman Shtoris, the Balabatim weren't able to follow. So the next year he said, last year was an experiment and it failed because most of the people didn't know what he was talking about. He's going to go back to Arachaim. So one of the Shem that he gave on a topic in Arachaim was, when does the Tainus begin? So he quoted the Gemara says that you say, when you dav Ma'ariv, the night of the Tainus, you say Aneinu. We have a minig, we only say Anena by Mincha because we're afraid that a lot of people will eat. As the Tainus proceeds, that people won't feel well, they'll have to eat. So we only say Anena by Mincha. But Medina de Gemara, in the days of the Tanoim, in the days of the Gemara, they said Anena by Ma'ariv before they went home to eat supper, the night before the Tainus. Everybody holds you eat. Oh, machlokes ha'tanaim is whether you start fasting at kreis ha'gever when the rooster starts to crow. That's before alos ha'shachar. Rashi writes there in Tainis, there are three at kreis ha'gever. The first kreis ha'gever, which is before alos ha'shachar. Oh no, the Tainis begins with alos ha'shachar. But the night before the Tainis, then you're allowed to eat. On Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, it's a 24-hour Tainis, and you start from Shkia. You start fasting. But the other Taneisim, you only start in the morning. Eat in the morning means Alos HaShach, in the morning means Kros HaGeber. So the Gemara said the Farish that you stay on Neina by Meirav, even though you're going to go home and eat supper. Why is that? Or there's another din, let's say a person finished supper and he went to sleep and he didn't make a Tanai that he plans to eat if he's going to wake up early before Alos HaShach that he plans to eat. So if he made a Tanai, then he's permitted to eat in the morning when he wakes up before Alos HaShach. If he didn't make it tonight, then he's not allowed to eat. Why not? But if the Tanis doesn't begin until Alos HaShach, why isn't he allowed to eat? So this was the theme of Rav Soloveitchik's shiur, that the Yom HaTainis is really the whole day and it begins the night before. And the question is, how much of the day do you have to fast? Okay, so that's a machlokes ha'tanaim. But the Yom HaTanis really begins from the night before. So that's why you do say Anenu by Meirav, even though you plan to eat supper. You're going to go home and eat supper. And that's why if you went to sleep and you didn't make a Tanai, and you wake up at 2-3 o'clock in the morning, it's before Alos HaShachar, you're not allowed to eat, because really the Tanis begins from the night before. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that he gave as a mushal. He said, whenever one observes a Tanis, in a certain sense it's a form of Avelus, and one in Avelu is not allowed to participate in entertainment. So he said, you're not allowed to go to the movies. That was his mashal. He was assuming that it's mutter to go to the movies all year long. But he said, one is in Avelu, not allowed to go to movies, and not allowed to go to the movies the night before a tannis. That the tannis really begins the night before. The shayla is about fasting, how much you fast. So you only fast. That part of the tannis only begins from Alos HaShachar. But the Yom HaTannis includes even the night before. That's why you say, Anena by Meirav, even though you plan to eat supper when you go home. And that's why you're not allowed to go to the movies the night before. Yeah. So when we got to this Gemara, so Rabbi Blau pointed out, the Mashgiach pointed out, at that time he was a Talmud in the Yeshiva, that from the Gemara you see that it sounds like the Tanis begins in the morning. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. We have a minhag, we don't have a wedding in the 3 weeks. The Ashkenazim have a minhag, we don't have a wedding in the 3 weeks. So the shayla is, when do the 3 weeks begin? From Shavuos HaBetamuz. Does Shavuos HaBetamuz begin the night of Shavuos HaBetamuz or the daytime? I permitted to have a wedding the night of Shavuos HaBetamuz. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva that is permissible. I don't know, it could be that there are a lot of, I think my impression is that several of the tshuvas, quite a few of the tshuvas are Moshe Feinstein. There are, every so often there's a condition missing, part of the story is missing, so you have to ask Reb David Feinstein to find out what's the rest of the background of the case. The tshuvas don't always apply in all cases. So it could be that this was a big shas hatchaka or something, I don't know. But that's Rav Moshe has a tshuva, that the tannis only begins in the morning, night before you're allowed to get married. So Rav Soloveitchik didn't like that in a big way. He thought not only Shavuos HaBetamuz, he said, Asar B'Tevis, Tzom Gedalia, any tannis, he said, every tannis you observe like Avelus. And he thought that the Tanis begins the night before. But again, the first thing the Tanoim had a machlok is, when do you start the fast? So the simple meaning of our Gemara, that the Gemara says you have to have a whole day, and here the Tanis only begins in the morning and doesn't include the night before. The simple meaning of the Gemara is that the Tanis doesn't begin till the morning. It's not that it begins the night before, you only have to fast part of the day. So Rav Soloveitchik was surprised when he got to this Gemara. It seemed to be a little in contradiction to the assumption that he was making. In Mishnah Brura, in the beginning of Chelek Vav, he has the dinim of the Taneisim. So I think in one of the first or the second simon, Hilchas Taneisim, so then maybe the third simon, so the Mishnah Brura quotes an Eliyahu Rabbah who raises a possibility that whatever we're not allowed to do in the 9 days, maybe on every Tanis, 9 days, we have a certain degree of Avelus. On Tisha B'Av Medina de Gemara, the Tanoim introduced that on Tisha B'Av you observe Kol Advarim HaDogim B'Av, HaDogim B'Tisha B'Av, we observe Tisha B'Av as if it would be a Shiva, Avelus of Shiva. Not 100%, some aspects of Shiva Kviya Samhita does not apply, Tifus HaRosh does not apply, so that's a question why. But basically, Medina Nigmara, the Tanai made a takana that we observe Tisha B'Av like Shiva. And then we observe the Minig Ashkenazim is that we observe the 9 days like Shloshim, and then we observe from the beginning, the 3 weeks till the 9 days, we observe like Yud Beis Chodesh. There are three levels of Avelus when someone dies. So first, most intense in Shiva, then slightly less intense in Shloshim, then till the end of the year, Yud Beis Chodesh. Kaddish one only says till the end of 11 months, because the Gemara says that the maximum that a Rosh suffers in Gehenim is Yud Beis Chodesh. And the whole idea of reciting Kaddish is based on the passage in the Zohar that the Beis Yosef quotes, that by reciting Kaddish, the child will succeed in being paid to his parents from suffering Gehenim. So we don't want to demonstrate as if our parents deserve the maximum Gehenim for Yud Beis Chodesh, then not such Rishoyim. So the minig is we only recite Kaddish until the end of the 11 months, Mishum Kibirav. If it's someone else saying Kaddish, other than, let's say, the children are not able to say Kaddish, they're only daughters, they're no sons, and they ask someone else to say Kaddish, so then many have the minig that then you say the Kaddish for 12 months. But if it's a child saying Kaddish, Mishum Kibirav, you don't say Kaddish for more than 11 months. But the Avelis is not for the full 12 months. Avelis is not for the full 12 months. So the Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha, I think it's the beginning of the third siman in Hilchos Taneisim there, and it has the dinim of the 3 weeks. So he quotes Eliyahu Rabba, who says that perhaps all the dinim that we observe during the 9 days have to be observed on the Day of Atonis. So that's really problematic because the Ramah, you have two pages facing each other, and all the editions of the Mishnah Berurah, the Ramah on the page facing this Mishnah Berurah quotes from Rishonim that if there's a wedding on Asara B'Tavis is the only Tonis in our calendar now, the only Tonis that can fall out on a Friday. So if Asara B'Tavis falls out on a Friday and you're having a wedding Friday afternoon, so that's permissible, and you have the Suda on Friday night, that'll be the Suda's Chasanim. That was a common practice in Europe because it was expensive to have a fleishig meal, so they couldn't afford it, so all week long they had milchiks. And on Shabbos, they had a fleishig meal. So when they had a wedding, they couldn't afford to make a fleishig meal. So they made all the weddings late Friday afternoon. And the Suda's Chasana was a Friday night. The Shabbos Dikim meal, anyway, it was going to be fleishig. Then they invited Aniyim, who couldn't afford to have a fleishig meal, even for Shabbos. They invited a lot of Aniyim to the wedding to celebrate with them. So the Ramah quotes this in Shulchan Aruch, that you're permitted to have a wedding on Asara B'Tavis. So how can Mishnah Berurah quote Eliyahu Rabba that whatever you're not allowed to do in the 9 days, you're not allowed to do on a Yom Atonis, because Yom Atonis is the day of Avelus, but you're not allowed to have a chuppah, you're not allowed to have a nisuin. Erisin is only an act of simcha if you have a sudas erisin. But so the Gemara says you're allowed to be mikadosh anisha even on Tisha B'Av, shemikad meru acher, because kiddushin itself is not a maisa simcha, only a sudas kiddushin, sudas erisin. But Nisuin, even without a Suda, is considered a Maisa Simcha. So you're not allowed to have Nisuin in the 9 days. We don't even allow Nisuin in the 3 weeks. But in 9 days, for sure, we don't allow Nisuin. So how can the Mishnah Berurah say in the name of Yola Rabba that whatever you're not allowed to do in the 9 days, you shouldn't do on Atonis? It's not true. The Ramah said before that you're allowed to have a Chuppah. I don't know, but that's what Rav Soloveitchik also assumed, that on Atonis, it's an Inyan of Avelus, and the Rambam, the Gemara says in Moed Katan, the third Perek Moed Katan has almost most of the dinim of Avelus there. So the Gemara says in Perek Ela Megalchin, one in Avelus should not really pick up a baby in his lap, to hold a baby in his lap, because Shemi is Gana al Abrius, that people will think that he's in violation of the dinim of Avelus, as if he's playing with the baby, the Mimisech Das from the Avelus. The Rambam quotes that Gemara differently. The Gemara says you shouldn't hold the baby on your lap. Shalo yizgan al abris. People, it'll look bad. It'll look as if he wants to be Mesiach Tas from the Avelus. The Rambam writes it as if it's an Iser. Since it's an entertaining thing to play with a baby, so you're not allowed to do any act of entertainment. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that you're not allowed to go to the movies in the Yud Beis Chodesh, because that's a form of entertainment. Baron Soloveitchik used to distinguish between the movies and a baseball game. He says, in movies, it's dark in the room and nobody sees how many other people are there, whether there are other people or not. You enjoy the movies the same, whether the whole movie house is crowded or you're the only ones there. So you thought that that's not considered, that shouldn't be considered Simchas Mereus. He thought Mereus only means if you enjoy it because of the fact that there's a big crowd. But in a baseball game, if you're the only one watching the game, so you're not going to enjoy it that much. You have more Hanah because of the fact that there's a bigger crowd. So Rabban Soloveitchik thought that a baseball game is also during Yud Beis Chodesh. That's called Simchas Mereus. You have more Hanah from the fact that you have such a big crowd as opposed to the movies. He thought that that should be Mutter. Rabban Soloveitchik thought, based on this Rambam, that you shouldn't take a tinuk on your lap in the whole Yud Beis Chodesh because it's a form of entertainment. So he thought that, like the Mishnah Brewer suggested, that on the Yom HaTanis, you have to observe a certain degree of Avelus. And he thought that you're not allowed to go to the movies even the night before. He used to be a Dayan in London, Dayan Grosnas. He learned in Radin, the same time as Rabbi Gerelik, same time as the Rebbe's in YU. He learned in Europe, he learned Baruch Ber. He has the modern style of Chuvis based on Rabbi Baruch Ber's and based on Rabbi Chaim's. So he has a tshuva where he discusses also the same shaila as Moshe Weinstein. Is it permissible to have a wedding leil shivasa b'tama? So he quotes that some had a minig not to recite shehechiyanu in the 3 weeks. Not to recite shehechiyanu in the 3 weeks. On Shabbos you're permitted to. Most of the minig Shabbos you're permitted to, but on the weekdays you don't say shehechiyanu. So the question was, what about the first night of Leil Shivasa B'Tamas, whether the Avelus of the 3 weeks begins with the Tonis in the morning or begins from Shivasa B'Tamas. So the Stechemed has two opinions about that. The Stechemed quotes a Machlokes Achrayim, whether one is those who have the meaning not to say Shachyana in the 3 weeks, whether it begins from Leil Shivasa B'Tamas or not. So Dan Grossman writes it should be the same Shaila regarding having a Chasana, Leil Shivasa B'Tamas. I think the general practice is that we don't permit it, like Rav Soloveitchik said. But in the days of the earlier Svarim, days of the earlier Achrenim, they had a machlegs, and there were those who were makel about that. So again, from our Gemara, it would appear that the Tanoim are saying that the whole Tonis only begins in the morning. Not that the Tonis begins from the night before, but you only do the Kiyum of fasting on the daytime. Sounds like the whole Tonis only begins in the morning. That's a simple reading of the Gemara. Then the Gemara is just trying to prove what the word or means. What the or means, early Abbasah means the morning of Abbasah means the Leil Abbasah. So the Gemara quotes about how did they notify when the Bez Nagodl would make Kiddush HaChodesh in Yerushalayim? How would they notify the Jews all over the world? They didn't have any telephones. They didn't have any telegraphs. How did they notify everybody? So in the earlier generations, they used to make bonfires. And the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah tells you on the Mount, on the top of this mountain, they would wave a bonfire till they would light up the next mountain. Next mountain, when you go touring in Eretz Yisrael, they show you exactly where these mountains are, where the next mountain is. And then and during the period of the Bayi Sheni, there were tzedukim who didn't hold from the whole institution of Kiddush HaChodesh HaPi Hariyah. So they fouled up the whole system. So they would make bonfires on the wrong day just to confuse everybody. So the Chachamim had to discontinue that practice. So then they started sending shluchim. So they used to send by horseback the shluchim to notify all the people. They changed the system. So Rashi over there happens to mention an issue that this summer we were learning Gemara Rosh Hashanah. So some of you may have heard the shiurim. So there happened to be four opinions in the Tanoim. When do you do Kiddush HaChodesh? So one Tana is of the opinion, the Kiddush HaMishnas HaChamishim Shana. So one Tana says, the Shnas HaYovel has Kedushas Man, the Bez declares that Shanas and Mekudeshes be Kedushas HaYovel. We Kedush them, the Shnas HaMishim Shonam. Across from Dror Baritz L'chol Yashved, and the Dinam of Yovel apply. So one Tana Darshan, so in the Pasuk, Shonim Atta Mekadosh V'Atta Mekadosh Chadoshim. You don't have to be Mekadosh Rosh Chodesh. You just declare that today is Rosh Chodesh, and in May it'll have Kedushas Rosh Chodesh. But the Bez doesn't have to be Mekadosh Rosh Chodesh. Just like we don't have to be Mekadosh Shabbos, Shabbos is Kviya B'Kaima, Mesheshes Mei Bereshes, we have to make Rosh Chodesh. By our declaring when Rosh Chodesh is, we make Kedushas Yontif, because Yontif depends what day of the month it is. But Kedushas Rosh Chodesh, We don't have to create Kedushas Rosh Chodesh, we just have to paskin. So whether the Rosh Chodesh is going to be on the 30th day, means the previous month that's ending is only 29 days, or the ending, the month that's ending now is going to be 30 days, we're going to declare the 31st day as Rosh Chodesh. So one time is all the opinion, the Bez never says Mekudesh, Mekudesh, they just give a psak. Today is Rosh Chodesh, and tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh, they paskin. The other Tana says no, that the Nusach for being Kover Rosh Chodesh is Mekudesh, Mekudesh. Just like you do for Yovel, so too you do for Rosh Chodesh. Beshin should say Mekudesh HaChodesh. Then there's a third Tana who's of the opinion that if you're going to declare Rosh Chodesh on the 30th day, that's a psak. You're going to say, because it's questionable, should the month that's ending have only 29 days and Rosh Chodesh be on the 30th day? Should the month ending have 30 days, Rosh Chodesh should be on the 31st day? So if you're going to declare Rosh Chodesh on the 30th day, so there's no need for the Bezin to be the Kaddish to Chodesh. Bezin should just say, we declare today's Rosh Chodesh. They give a psak. The Mele, once they give a psak, so it becomes Rosh Chodesh, it becomes Kedushas Rosh Chodesh. With respect to what's the relevance, what's the significance of Kedushas Rosh Chodesh, that the Kedushas Hayom is Mechayvim Musafim. Usually Kedushas Hayom of Yontav is Mechayvim Musafim, and As is Memalocha, and is Mechayvim Riach Hagiga, Simcha, Lulav, Sukkah, Chometz, a whole bunch of additional mitzvahs. Rosh Chodesh, all you have because of the Kedushas Hayom is that the day has Kedusha that is Chayvim Musafim. Okay, the Kedushas Hayom is Chayvim and Musafim. So if Rosh Chodesh is Nikvan the 30th day, so then the Bezin just gives a psak. There's room to paskin because it's a tosa. Will today be or tomorrow be Rosh Chodesh? Bezin says today is Rosh Chodesh, the Mele has Kedusha. But if they decide not to make the 30th day, which they're going to make the 31st day, when it comes to the 31st day, there's no need to give a psak. Because a month can't have more than 30 days. A month can't have less than 29 days, can't have more than 30 days. So if Rosh Chodesh is going to be on the 31st day, there's nothing to paskin about. So then Bezin has to be Mekadosh, but you want Bezin to have something to do with the Rosh Chodesh. So there's nothing for them to paskin about. It's already been determined. If you didn't make the 30th day Rosh Chodesh, back the 31st day is going to be Rosh Chodesh. So then Bezin should be Mekadosh the Chodesh. They should say, today's Mekudesh, the 31st day is Mekudesh, the Kedushas Rosh Chodesh. And we paskin like the fourth opinion in the Tanoim. Not none of the three above opinions is a fourth Shita. That if the Bezin wants to make the 30th day Rosh Chodesh, then they have to give a psak. The form that you give the psak is Mekudesh Hayam, Mekudesh, Kedushas Rosh Chodesh. The Bezin says Mekudesh, and Chol Ha'anim Anim Achra, Mekudesh, Mekudesh. But if the Bezin is going to not declare the 30th day, going to make the 31st day, so then there's nothing to paskin about. So nothing to paskin about, then they don't have to be Mekadosh. The whole idea, the whole institution of being Mekadosh, Rosh Chodesh is, that's the nusach that you use when you want to paskin that today is Rosh Chodesh. So you only have to paskin if you're making the 30th day Rosh Chodesh, making the 31st day Rosh Chodesh. There's no need to paskin. There's no brevet. There's no alternative. If you have a shaila, whether it's kosher or treif, so you got to give a psak. Here, there's no, everybody knows you can't have a month of more than 30 days. So the 31st day will have to be Rosh Chodesh. So then there's no psak needed and there's no kiddush either. That's how we pass. The Gemara on top of Gimel Amud Aleph has a long braisa. The din is in kochim. When you bring a chatos or an osham, it's only nechel yom v'layla. Menator it's nechel yom v'layla till alos ha-shachar. I mean, the rabbanah k'day l'harchi k'sa'od minhu aveira. Alos ha-shachar is very dark outside. So it's possible to make a mistake. People will think that it's still laila. They'll still continue to eat the kohanim, and they'll still continue to eat the chatos and the osham and the azara. Chatos and osham is only nechel zichri kuhuna yom v'layla. So mid the rabbanon at chatzos, men atorz nechel all night long. Kede lahachik chasadim anaver. That's the opening mishnah in brachas. They only allow the kohanim to eat it up until chatzos. So that's by kochim kochim. Yeah. What about kochim kalim? So when you bring a shlamim, so shlamim is nechel shnei yamim v'layla. Today is Sunday morning. So you bring a shlamim today at 12 o'clock. So you bring, you can eat the shlamim today, tonight, and tomorrow till shkia. And after the shkia, you can't eat it. So the question is, but the Gemara understood from Chatos and Osham that in Kochim, ha'layla ha'lach achra ha'yoyim. Usually we say ha'yoyim ha'lach achra ha'layla because it says in Chumash v'ayyer v'ayyivayker. So Shabbos and Yom Kippur and Yontif, every, on the Jewish calendar, every day begins from Tzeis HaKochavim. Let's say tonight, Tzeis HaKochavim is going to be the beginning of Monday. But in Kochim, the Gemara is, it's a Gemara in Paragid on Asha. In Kochim, the Gemara says that Ha'layla ha'lach acharayim v'haraya from Kochim, that is nechel yom v'layla, you eat all night long. Because in the Beis HaMikdash, the days start from the morning and it goes till the next morning. From Alos HaShachar till Alos HaShachar. In fact, there's a tshuva in the Chasam Sofer where he comments on the Gemara in the first parak in Zvachim. The Gemara quotes a Tana Rabba Futriki Rami. He had a contradiction between two halves of the same pasuk. The pasuk says, when a korban is shorkes veizki yivaleid, when a behemoth is born, you want to bring it as a korban. So you cannot bring it the first 7 days. He can't bring in the first 7 days. So let's say Behemoth is born on Sunday. Let's say Sunday is a bad marshal. Let's say Behemoth is born on Monday. So the first 7 days means Monday through next Sunday. He can bring it on next week on Monday. For the first 7 days, you can't bring it as government. The eighth day, you can bring it. So Rabbi Futriki Rami, he had a contradiction between the two halves of the pasuk. Shivas yamim yir tachasimo, the first 7 days. So usually in halacha, let's say the animal was born on a Monday in the daytime, 12 o'clock in the afternoon on a Monday. So the 7 days would be over next week on Sunday at Seisal Kochavim. Because next Sunday night is already Monday, so that's already after the 7 days are up. So the first half of the pasuk says Shivas Yamim Mi Tachasimo. Sounds like Sunday night you can bring it as a carbon already. Then it says Yom Hashmini Beholi Yiratzu LeKarbon. Yom Hashmini means the morning, the daytime part of the eighth day. So why the daytime part? But the first half of the pasuk said just Shivas Yamim Tachasimo, the first 7 days Tachasimo. But Sunday night next week should be good because that's already after the 7 days are up. So the Gemara answers this Tana Rabba Futriki says that you see from the psukim that not only are you not allowed to be makriv the animal as a korban within the first 7 days, you're not allowed to be magdish it. You're not permitted to be magdish in b'chus hazman. B'chus hazman is not yet 8 days old. But laila l'kedusha v'yom l'hartzah, the next Sunday night, if the animal was born Monday, the animal was born Monday, 1 week, Monday, 12 o'clock in the afternoon. So you're not allowed to be makrifit, you're not allowed to be magdish until next Sunday night. Next Sunday night is already the 7 days are up, so then it's permissible to be magdish. But the pasuk says in Parshas Tzav, in Parshas Tzano, in Parshas Shmini, I think, because it says, V'yom tzavos ha'lahakriv is korbanim. That all korbanos have to be korib in the daytime. Can't be makriv any korbanos balaylo. So Laila l'kedusha, next Sunday night you're permitted to be magdishit v'yoyim l'hartzor. But on the morning of the eighth day, then you can actually be makrivit on the mizbeh. So the Gemara quotes this Tana Rabba Futriki in the first parak in Zvachim Dav Zayin or something like that, has this comment on a pasuk. Where does it say Shor Kesveizki Yivaleid? Shor Kesveizki Yivaleid. In Parshas Amor. So the Achreinim abadid with Akasha, why did the Gemara have this, why did Rabbi Futriki have the comment on the Pasuk in Amor? There's such an identical Pasuk earlier by Bchor. Where was the Pasuk by Bchor in the end of Mishpatim? I forgot already. How does it go?
Mishpatim.
It says the same thing. So why did he make the comment on the Pasuk later in Amor? He could have made the same comment on the Pasuk in Mishpatim. So the Chasam Sofer writes in the Tshuva, a fantastic Chiddush. The question is it correct or not? A Chiddush. He says that with respect to Bchor, it's Kodesh Merechem. The second it's born, it's already kadosh. It's already kadosh. And the kotshim, the rule is halayla halach achrayim. So he says, if an animal is born on Monday, with the mashal that we gave before, the animal is born Monday, 12 o'clock in the afternoon. So Shibas Yamim are up next week, Monday morning. Shibas Yamim not up next week, Sunday evening at Seisa Kachavim. Sunday evening at Seisa Kachavim, the 7 days are up if the animal was born Behemas Chulin. No, normal, Sharekes Reis Kivale, it's Chulin. So in Chulin, the din is Hayam Halach Achar Alayla. The days all begin with Seisa Kachavim, and it ends with Seisa Kachavim. So then there's a discrepancy between the first half of the Pasuk and the second half. But by Pchorik, since it's Kodesh, the second it comes out, Kodesh Mei Rechem. It's not Kodesh in the Rechem. The Gemara says it becomes Kodesh Mei Rechem when it comes out from the mother's Rechem. So since it's Kodesh Mei Rechem, so in Kodeshim the din is Halayla Halach Achrayayim. So the 7 days are not up till the morning of next week. The animal was born Monday, 12 o'clock in the afternoon. So the 7 days are not over until next week, Monday morning. That'll be, so Monday morning, so the first half of the Pasuk, second half of the Pasuk, say the same thing. He has a Chiddush, he's saying a Chiddush. Let's say the animal would be born tonight, Sunday night. A Bchor would be born on a Sunday night. So he says, Sunday night, I would have said, I'm not so convinced that Chassam is right, I would have said, animal is born Sunday night, so that belongs to Monday. So Monday is the first day of Shibas Yamim. So you have to wait till next Monday to be Makrovit. So the Chassam Sofer says wrong. He said the animal is born Sunday night still belongs to Sunday. So if you wait till next week, Sunday, that's the Yom HaShmini. By Bchor, that's Kodesh Meirechem, and Kodshim, the din is Halal Halach Achrayayim. So Sunday night belongs to Sunday, so the next Sunday is the Yom HaShmini. You don't have to wait till Monday. That's a Chiddush Halacha L'Maaseh. That's a big Chiddush. Anyway, but that's what the Gemara took. The Gemara in Chulin has such a statement that Bekotshim, Halayla Halach Achrayayim, unlike Chulin, in Kol HaTarukula, it's Hayam Halach Achrayayim, all the Yom HaTayv and all the days of the week begin, HaYerev, HaYivoyker, everything begins Me'erev ad erev, Tishbisu Shabbatchem, from Tzeisa Kachavim to Tzeisa Kachavim. In the Kodshim, the Gemara establishes based on the dinim by Chatos and Oshim, that it's only Nechel Yom V'Layla, that Yom V'Layla is considered one day. So the Gemara raises the question, the Gemara by us raises, but it's really the end of Perek Ezer Mekoyman. The Gemara towards the end of the Perek has a Machlokes Chizkiya and Rabbi Yechanan. When you eat shlomim, let's say the mashal that we gave before, someone's makdish a shlomim, someone's makriv the shlomim today, 12 o'clock on Sunday, you say, can eat the shlomim today, tonight, and tomorrow till the shkia. So what about tomorrow night? Tomorrow night, you're not allowed to eat the shlomim. It's only nechel shnei yamim v'layla echad. Do you say that the zman of the korban kochim kalim, the zman of the korban shlomim is really 2 full days? So the zman of the korban is really 2 days, Yom V'Layla, Yom V'Layla. So tomorrow night, Monday night, is still the Zman of the Korban, but you're not allowed to eat it. But if you eat it, then it won't yet be Noiser. It doesn't become Noiser till the morning, till the next morning. It won't become Noiser. Or let's say you shecht a Korban today, planning to put the meat in the freezer and eat it next week. So that makes it Pigul. If you have a Machsheves, Achil Chutz L'Zmanoi, so that makes it Pigul. So what's called chutz lizmanu? Chutz lizmanu means if I would have eaten at that time, I would have been chay mishum noisar. So that's the machlokes chizkiya and Rabbi Yechanan. What if you eat the shlomim early yom shlishi? He brings the shlomim today, Sunday, 12 o'clock. So shnei yamim v'layla echad is till Sunday night, Monday till shkia. Monday night after the shkia. If you eat it, you're chayiv koris because of noisar or no? The zman of the korban Ishnei Yamim and Kotshim is up the morning. I brought it on Sunday, 12 o'clock. So Sunday, Monday till Tuesday morning is this man of the Korban. There's a din. You're not allowed to eat it the second night, you can only eat it. Shnei amim v'laylecha, the second night, you can't eat it, but it's not yet nicer because the zman of the korban is not up yet. Let's say a korban Pesach, the same shayla. Korban Pesach is a machlokes hatanoim. You can't eat a Pesach in a nachla elo ad chatzos. That's a mishnah in the end of Ezel Mekoyman. So that's the Gemara quotes a machlokes hatanoim for the end of the first parak in Brochus. That din that you can't eat the korban Pesach after chatzos for blood, Ben Azari holds that that's a din der Reis, and Rabbi Kiva holds only a din der Rabbanim. And Tosis is not sure how we paskin. Vashtis is that we usually pass on like Rabbi Kiva, alochik Rabbi Kiva mechaveiroi. When Rabbi Kiva disagrees with another contemporary of his, he always passed like Rabbi Kiva. So we should really assume that the korban Pesach minatar may be eaten all night long. It's only a gzerim of the rabbanon. That you can't eat it after chatzos. But because the Stam Mishnah in Ezel Mekoyman reads like Rabbi Lozer ben Azariah, because the Mishnah has a double negative, it says HaPesach ein anechal elo at chatzos. So it sounds stronger than just saying Ochlam is HaPesach kaidem chatzos. So the Gemara is medayik that double negative ein anechal elo at chatzos sounds like Rabbi Lozer ben Azariah, that chatzos is a din d'oraisa. So since you have a Stam Mishnah like Rav Lozer ben Azariah, that's what leads some of the Balei HaTesis to believe that the din should be like Rav Lozer ben Azariah. What's the difference? Halacha l'maaseh, bottom line, you can't eat the korban Pesach after chatzos. The Gemara, the end of Psochim, towards the very end of Psochim, next to the last daf in Psochim, the Gemara says, in afkamina melchab, can you eat matzah after chatzos? If you hold that din of chatzos is a din d'oraisa by korban Pesach like Rav Lozer ben Azariah, so then there's a hekesh between matzah and korban Pesach. So then the matzah also has to be eaten by chatzos, menatorah. But if you hold that korban Pesach, menatorah is all night long, it's only a gzera de rabbanon, kedel achik asad minhu aveira. So then you only have a right to make a gzera de rabbanon by a korban, because if you eat the korban after los hashachi, you'll be in violation of an iser of eating noiser, in violation of an iser koris, eating noiser. If you eat the matzah after chatzos, it'll come out that if you hold, even if you hold that there's a gzered, if chatzos is a din d'oraisa by korban Pesach, so matzah hukash to korban Pesach. So matzah also has to be eaten by chatzos. But if you hold that chatzos is only a din d'rabban and a harchoke, so the Gemara is beferish. You only have a right to make a harchoke by korban Pesach because you're afraid the person by mistake may eat the korban Pesach after alos hashacha. It's pitch black outside. And he won't realize he just violated an Issa Koris. But if he eats matzah after Ados HaShachar, so he said he wasn't yet to the mitzvah matzah. So he said a bracha levatola. Bracha levatola, we assume, is only the Rabbanan. So he ate before davening. So the world doesn't come to an end. Lubavitcher always eat before davening. They daven doomsday. They daven at 12 o'clock. So of course they can't fast the whole day. Yeah. So that's befavish in the Gemara, that if chatzos is the raisa, then it carries over from Korban Pesach to Matzah. Chatzos only the Rabbanon. Then they only made the Gzera by Korban Pesach. They never made the Gzera by the Matzah. That's enough community Gemara. So the so the Gemara has this machlokes in the end of in the Gemara in the end of Perek Ezel Mekoyman, machlokes Chizkia and Rabbi Yochanan. I think we paskin the funny way, that the zman of the korban Pesach is really all. Let's go back to the korban Pesach. If you have a korban Pesach, let's say if you hold like Rabbi Lozer ben Azariah that you can't eat the korban Pesach after chatzos. So if someone eats it after chatzos, he's over and he's a koris. He ate noiser. So there's a tesis at the end of the first perek in Brachos where the Mishkan is Yankiv has in a sefer the Koheles Yankiv. He explains. You wouldn't be chayv koris. The zman of the korban is really yom v'layla. It's a kachim kalim, but the zman is yom v'layla. But it's a din. You're not allowed to eat the korban pesach for Torah's kachim kalim. So you can't eat it mibod yom. If it would have been a normal korban toida, a korban shlamim is nechal shnei yamim v'layla. A korban toida is only nechal yom v'layla. So toida is a kachim kalim. Toida is a subcategory of shlamim. So a toida, you can eat yom v'layla, min atorah all night long, min rabbanon ad chatzos k'dei lahachik asadam min aveira. So So let's say if one would hold halacha like Rav Blosim and Azariah, that chatzos is a din deraisa. Chatzos is a din deraisa to be yotze the korban pesach. Like you can't eat rochas habasa balayla as a balayla velo bayom. You're not permitted to eat the korban pesach bayom. Why not? It's a kochim kalam. It should be nach like a taida yom velayla. Why can't you eat it bayom? It's a gzeris hakos. We have to eat it b'toris korban pesach. It's an iser asay. Rochas habasa balayla as a balayla velo bayom. So if you eat the korban pesach after chatzos, a kankar blazim and azaria, it should have been really b'mutter to eat it b'toris kochim kalam. Should be mutter to eat it b'toris kochim kalam. The Or Sameach writes in Hilchos Korban Pesach, Bialduso, when he was younger, he thought that even if you hold like Rav Blazim and Azaria that ha-pesach and ha-mechal elu at chatzos, it means you won't be yotze the mitzvah korban pesach if you eat it after chatzos, but still you're permitted to eat it after chatzos. You can eat it b'toris kochim kalam. He can eat it, but Torah's kachim kalam. Then he got older, and he realized that what he said is against the Beferish Gemara Daf Ayin and Psachim, that you learn out from that pasuk of Achol Sabasa Balayla Valo Bayom that Korban Pesach can only be eaten with Torah's Korban Pesach. You're not allowed to eat it, but Torah's kachim kalam. So that excludes you're not allowed to eat it on Erev Pesach. If it will be a plain Korban Taida, you will be allowed to eat it Yom Balayla. You can't eat it Bayom, and you can't eat it after chatzos. If you hold chatzos is deraisa, you're not allowed to eat it after chatzos b'toras kochim kalim. That's the gzeres hakos. You can only eat it b'toras korban pesach. But the zman of the korban theoretically really should have been yom v'layla the whole night long. So even according to Ablaz Manazaria, if you eat the korban pesach after chatzos, you won't be chayv koris. It doesn't become nicer till the zman of the korban is up. The zman of the korban is in the morning. And the same thing, let's say you have moisa pesach korban shlamin. Let's say I have this Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, I think, printed this Dvar Torah many years ago, based on a girsa and a tosefta, that let's say someone was mafresh a korban pesach, and then the animal got lost, so you had to bring a different korban pesach, or pesach, bring a different one, and then they find it has a tag on it. This animal is a korban pesach, belongs to Herschel Shechter. So I find it on Chol HaMoed Pesach. That's too late to bring it as the Korban Pesach. Had to bring a different one. So if I didn't bring a Korban Pesach yet, so I'll use this animal for Pesach Sheni. It has Kedusha's Korban Pesach on it. But if I brought a different animal for Korban Pesach, so what do I do? This is a Moisa Pesach. This was left over. I was Magadashid L'Shem Pesach. So the Din Gemara learns out from the Psukim, Moisa Pesach Korab Shlamim. If you have a Korban Pesach left over, so you bring it as a Korban Shlamim. So even if you hold like Rav Blazim and Azaria that the Minatari can eat the Korban Pesach after Chatzos, that's only when you're eating it b'toras Korban Pesach. But here you're eating it b'toras Shlamim. So b'toras Shlamim, but a normal Shlamim is Nechel Shnei Yamim V'Lai Lecha. This one is not Nechel Shnei Yamim V'Lai Lecha because this was left over from a Korban Pesach. So has this man of Yom V'Laila. Has this man of Yom V'Laila. It doesn't, and has all, Minatari has all night long. It's all night long. Because the din of chatzos is only a din, according to Rav Blazer Manazar, din of chatzos is a din deraisa. It's not that's the zman akorban. The zman akorban, it's a kochim kalam, it's like a toy. The zman akorban is yom v'layla, all night long. But if you makriv it as a korban pesach and you dal it nissen, then you have to eat it b'toras korban pesach. So then you can't eat it by yom and you can't eat it after chatzos. You can only eat it b'toras korban pesach. But if it's moisa pesach korab shlamim, then it's nechel yom v'layla, all night long minator. But the rabbanon, you shouldn't eat it after chatzos. But minator, this man would really be all night long. So that's what Rabbi Yechanan holds. In the end of Perek, Hizamakayman, when you have a shlamim, you bring a shlamim today at 12 o'clock on Sunday, so it's nechel today, tonight, and tomorrow till Shkia. But tomorrow night, if you lead it, you won't be chayv koris. If you lead it on Tuesday morning, you'll be chayv, because the zman of the korban is really shnei yamim, two full days. And kochim halayla halach achrayim. So a korban that you bring, a shlama that you bring today, so the shnei yamim are today, tonight, and tomorrow night till Tuesday morning. But you're not allowed to eat it. You have to eat it b'toras shlama. The mitzvah of achila is only up until the shkia. If you eat it balayla, you're not chayv kares. For noisar, and therefore, if you had when you shechted it today, you had a mind to eat it tomorrow night, it won't become pigul. It only becomes pigul, the Gemara says, if you intended to eat it at a time that it would be after the zman of the whole carbon is up. But here it's not considered after the zman of the carbon. Yeah, last week we spoke about, we mentioned Rav Soloveitchik's Raiva, the Raiva on the bottom of the Rif. The Raiva had a chiddush on the top line in the Gemara on Gimel Amid Aleph, Amapelis or the Shmoyne V'Yachod, that there are two dinim of Yom Alayla. There's one din of when the sun is shining, that's Yom, and then there's another din when it's light outside. So from Alos HaShachar, it's already enough light, and from Alos HaShachar, it's already Vadayayim. Let's say the Mishnah has a Megillah L'chatchila, it's not proper to shake a lulav, but to say Hallel before Hanetzach Hama. But B'di'evit, if you shook the lulav, you blew the shofar, or you said the Hallel after Alos HaShachar, B'di'evit, you would be Yotze. So the Poshim Pshat in the Mishnah is that's Gzeirah D'Rabbanan, and we discussed the Aderes, who lived 100, died 100 years ago, had a chiddush that Bisman said that maybe that Gzeirah D'Rabbanan doesn't apply, because every other person has a watch, and every other person doesn't have a watch, has a clock on the wall. So everybody's going to know when Alos HaShachar is, so you're not going to make a mistake. His opinion has not yet been accepted. We hold that it's still a Din D'Rabbanan. But others held that, we mentioned the Pirush HaChareidim on the Talmud Yerushalmi, and Brochas, they're printed on the bottom of the page. The commentary of the Charedim. Charedim lived, I think, in the middle of the 1500s. He's by the Sfardim. That's still considered the Tkufas HaRishayim. So he seems to have understood that Mishnah, that it's al-chatchila deraisa, that whenever there's a dovash and mitzvah sabayom, so the full din of yom is from sunrise to sunset. And then from Alos HaShacharan, that's also a din. It's a bidyevid that's also yom. But l'chatchila not. So that was the Raibit claims that because there's all the Shmoneh V'Echad, this then depends on Zricha and Shkia. Doesn't depend on Alois HaShachar and Tzeisa Kocham. That was a big Chiddush. And you have in Hilchas Nido, such a Pischei Tshuva quotes from the Chavos Das, that if an Isha is Kaveh Aveses, so if she has a Riya, before the Zricha, it's considered Laila, and after the Shki, it's considered Laila. What about Ben Hashmoshes, and what about Alos HaShachar till Zricha? So the Chavos Das says, from the Loshon of the Rishonim, it would appear that it depends on sunrise and sunset, and you ignore Ben Hashmoshes, and you ignore the fact that it's Vadayoyim from Alos HaShachar till Zricha. So he doesn't explain it though, he just says that's what it's Mashma from the Shulchan Aruch, from the Loshon of the Rishonim. So one could have somehow understood that that's has to do with the cycle, the vessels of the human body. Maybe there it depends on sunrise and sunset. But here the rabbi is saying it ben get to dinim, the dinim der isa, that the cutoff point is shkia. So he says lachatchila, the correct time to do bedikas chametz is right after the shkia during ben hashmashes. And Shulchan Aruch doesn't say like that. It says you shouldn't do the B'dikas Chametz till Laila. It's against the Raiva. But the Raiva holds both by B'dikas Chametz because it says Orli Arba Aser. And this case, Beis Shammai, is unique Shita. We don't pass like Beis Shammai. But according to Beis Shammai, the din would depend on Zvich and Shkia. It wouldn't depend on Seisar Kachavim. That was a Chiddush, yeah. Then the Gemara in the first wide line on Gimla Madal, the Gemara quotes a Braisa that comes from the last Perek in Yuma, Mamish from the end. Yuma, I think, ends on Daf Peches. So this is Mamish next to the last Daf in Yuma. So the Gemara says a person recites Vidui on Yom Kippur quite a few times. You say Vidui by Ma'ariv and by Shacharis and by Musaf and by Mincha and by Ne'ila five times in the same day. So the Gemara there in Yuma has more than that. If you read from the beginning of the Braisa, it says you should really stay vidui before Yom Kippur enters. So the Chachamim, why should you say vidui before Yom Kippur enters? So the Ramban there, the end of Yuma, explains why, that it says Chumash, it says Lufnei Hashem Tetor, Ki Bo Yom Zeh Chapan Atarech Mekol Chatesechem, Lefnei Hashem Titor. How did it translate Lefnei Hashem Titoru? So the Ramban translates based on the Gemara in Yuma, Lefnei Hashem, before Yom HaKippurim arrives. Yom HaKippurim has a unique feature that there's a special Hashras HaShchina. That's how Itzuma Shel Yom is Mechaper. How is it Mechaper? Because we're as if we have the Shekhinah right next to us, and being together with the Shekhinah is what accomplishes Kapara. Absalom Reitzi gave just as a mashal, Amar David Adam, he says, sometimes you have a beggar that has a stain, so you soak it in water and use detergent, and then you rub. So when Yom Kippur, there's Ashras, Ashkhinah Zifra, our souls are rubbing up against the Shekhinah. So that's the rubbing with the Shekhinah is what accomplishes the Mechilas Avonos on Yom Kippur. So the Pasuk says, Lefnei Hashem, Titoru, we should purify ourselves by reciting Vidui before Yom Kippur enters. Yom Kippur is referred to as Hashem. There's a special Hashras, Hashchina, and that's why we recite Hashem Hu Halakim seven times after Yom Kippur is over, because the Gemara in the second parak in Chagiga establishes that there are seven heavens. That's an expression in the English language also. A person is in the seventh heaven. That's the highest he can get. So the Shechina was with us the whole duration of Yom Kippur. And then we blow shofar after Yom Kippur is over, like we blew shofar after Maimon. Well, like we didn't blow shofar. When they heard the Tekiah shofar after Maimon Har Sinai, that was a similar Siluk Shechina, and everybody was permitted to climb up on Har Sinai. It wasn't Kitchel Asilava. The Kedushas Har Sinai was only there because Man the Shechina was there. And after Maimon Har Sinai was over, then the Kedusha was Batla. So similar, Siluk Shechina was a Tekiah shofar. So the Tesis and different Mesichtas has three different explanations for the meaning that we have to blow shofar on Matzah Yom Kippur. So one is this is one of the more famous explanations, that you blow shofar as a similar Siluk Shechina. The whole duration of Yom Kippur, there was Ashras Hashchina. And then the similar Siluk Shechina is that we blow shofar and we say seven times Hashem Bo'alakim to wish the Shechina to go to the first heaven, seventh heaven, the second, and so on, to go to the seventh heaven. We only believe in one God, so it shouldn't be permissible to say Hashem Alakim seven times. Sounds as if you believe in seven gods. But if this is what you have in mind, to baglate the Shechina when it's going back to the seventh heaven, so then Taisa says then it's permissible. Otherwise, I'm a Shema Shema, Mishaskenosa. Person says Hashem Alakim Hashem Echad seven times. Sounds like he believes in the seven gods.
Rebbe?
So Hashem, yes.
But by the Mishnah in Sukkah, when there's Machlokas Chachamim, I think it's Rabbi Yehuda, by Anu Le'kav Le'kaineinu, there it sounds like we're very machmir by that. So why does it seem that by the Tanaim in the Mishnah, they wouldn't even say Ka in the same Pasuk, but we can say seven times Hashem Elokim?
The Kasha is a very good Kasha. I think whatever answer you're going to give is weaker than the Kasha. I don't know. But that's how somehow the meaning developed, that we have in mind all the seven things. So therefore, Tesis says it's permissible. I don't know. The Kasha is a good Kasha. So the Ramban holds, the Ramban learns that that's Pshat in that Gemara. Lefnei Hashem means prior to Yom Kippur's entering, because when Yom Kippur is there, then Hashem is with us. There's a Hashras Hashchina. So Lefnei Hashem Titor means before Yom Kippur enters, before you have this Hashras Hashchina, that's when Titor we should purify ourselves by reciting Vidui. Some of the Gedolim say that that's Pshat in the Rav Sadia Gaon. The Rosh at the end of the Yuma quotes Rav Sadia Gaon that everyone has to go to Mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur. And you say, Bracha, Shekhidashana, Divinsos, Vitzivano, Alat Vila. So the Rosh asks, what in the world is that all about? Chai, what in the Ratzmo, Baregel, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah learns that from a Pasik, that on Vinivlos, Melosi, go, that on Regel, you have to be Mitari yourself before Regel enters, and you're not allowed to be Mitami yourself on Regel. So we usually assume that that's a din and Shosh, Golem, is Mancha, Bez, Mikdu, Shaykhan, you have to be Oyler Regel. So if you're going to be Tame, you won't be able to enter the Azara. It shouldn't apply to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. There's no mitzvah about the other regal. But the Rav Sadia Gaon seems to hold that din applies even to Yom Kippur. So by Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, it even applies Bizman Hazed, and no one's entering into the Azara. No one's able to fulfill the other regal. Everybody's Tame Meis anyway. You don't have any innate part to be entire of the people. So the Rosh understood the Rav Sadia Gaon like that's what he's saying. Chayvonam Taratzma Beregel is a din that the Kedushas HaRegel is not this powerful as Shabbos. Shabbos, the Kedushas HaYom is so powerful, so it'll have a positive influence on us, even if we're in the state of Tumah. But the Abigalim, even Yom Kippur, that there's no Heterech HaNevesh, even Yom Kippur is not as powerful as Shabbos, so the Kedusha Zayayim will only have an effect on us, will have a stronger effect if we'll go to Mikveh in advance. That's how the Rosh understood the Rav Sadigan, that is based on the Din of Chayavadim Taratzma Berego. And others disagree, and other Gedolim say, no, the Rav Sadigan meant to say only Yom Kippur. It didn't mean Sholosh Regalim and Rosh Hashanah, only Yom Kippur. That's how he read the Pasuk, Lefnei Hashem Titorah, before you enter into the Kedusha Zayayim, Titorah, you should purify yourself, the same way the Ramban said, but not Titorah means you should recite Vidui, you should purify your souls by reciting Vidui, rather Lefnei Hashem Titorah, you should go to the mikveh. According to the Rav Sadigan, whether you learn like the Rosh, or you learn like the Stipler, who has this, I think, Baruch and Pella has it. I think maybe the Aruch HaShulchan has this pshat also, that the Rav Sadigan understood Lefnei Hashem Titorah like that. So then they're saying that it's a real din d'oraisa, has to be a kosher and mikveh. Usually we assume not like that, the Rav Sadigan, not like that pshat and Rav Sadigan. We usually assume that Ezra made a takana that a balkari is not allowed to learn not by davin. So then years later, in the days of the time, they repealed the takana with respect to learning Torah. Because of the pasuk halakol dvorei kareishniyum Hashem ayeshen mekabultum adritena mekabultum gemara and brachas. So there was a big machlokes in the rishonim. The pasuk only says with respect to liman haTorah that a balkari is permitted to learn Torah. What about davening? Did they repeal the takana says with respect to davening or not? So the Rambam writes that they did repeal it once they took off the takana says for learning, the whole takana fell apart. But he says that he personally goes to mikvah all the time before he davens. And we assume it's just the Midas Chassidus. And Rosh and Brochus quotes, they're arrived. We don't have any Hasagas arrived there on that Rambam. There are a lot of times that the Rambam disagrees with the Rambam and it's not recorded in the Hasagas arrived. So the Rosh quotes arrived who disagrees with Rambam holds no Mikra Din. Takana says it was only repealed with respect to learning Torah. It was never repealed with respect to davening. So mikra, then you have to go to mikveh before you daven. So today we know only the Hasidim are makbed about going to mikveh before they daven, and everybody else is makel. So when it comes, Aseres Meitshuva, we're machmer and all kinds of things. Machmer not to eat paspalter, but machmer for other things as well. And Shulchan Aruch have other chumras. So this is one of the chumras that we're machmer and Aseres Meitshuva for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. That we'll go to mikveh before we daven to be choshish for the shitas haraiva. That's why it's usually assumed. But the fact that if you machmer for the raiva shita, they don't say a bracha. Shekhjam says on ala tfilo. So the fact that Rav Sadigan says say a bracha, he seems to hold that it's a real din. What can the real din be? So that's what the Rosh understood, that the real din is chayavaram taratzma baregel. It applies even to Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, even Bizman HaZed, and no one is entering the Azara. Others understood, no, it's based on this pasuk, Lefnei Hashem Titorah. Absal Rechi had a suggestion, how come we start off Yom Kippur with Kol Nidre? How come we start off with HaTorah Sendor? So different explanations are given. Some say because Yom Kippur used to be, there were two holidays in the course of the year which we celebrate Kabbalah HaTorah. Shavuos is Man Matan Teresenu. And the Gemara says in the end of Tainus, the Mishnah says in the end of Tainus, Lohir Lahem Liso Yom Tov Mikham Mishasa Bo'ov Kiyama Kippurim, that he used to make a lot of Shidduchim on these 2 days. So the Gemara says, Bishleima Yom Kippurim. The Gemara in the end of Tainus says, Bishleima Yom Kippurim, we understand what the celebration is. That's when Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the Luch HaShniyos on Yom Kippur, Yom Shemitna Ba'atar. But what is Chamishas Abov all about? So the Gemara has a whole discussion, a whole historical background. What's Chamishas Abov all about? And why does it have to do with Shidduchim? Why is it a holiday that has to do with getting married? So the Achareim raised the question, what do you need 2 holidays to celebrate Kabbalah, Saturday, Shavuos, and Yom HaKippurim, Yom Shinit, and Batar, the Luch HaShniyos were given? So the Beis Halevi has a long drasha in the end of the second chelik of the Shadus HaTshuvos. And Rav Shlomo Levilna has the same in his Binyan Shlomo. They both said the same suggestion. Maybe we need 2 holidays to celebrate. When the Luchos Rishonos were given, when the Aseres Hayyamim were proclaimed on Shavuos, the Luchos Rishonos were engraved that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to come down from Har Sinai, the original plan was going to be that there wasn't going to be any Torah Shebal Peh. It was only going to be Torah Shebichsav. But then, because of the Toegel, so there's a long Medrash, and the Beis Aviv has a long Arichas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to change the plan, and he decided he has to give a Torah Shebichsav and a Torah Shebal Peh, and that'll be the uniqueness of Bnei Yisrael, that we have the Torah Shebal Peh. The Yom HaSalim share the Torah Shebichsav with us, but we have the Torah Shebal Peh. So some have suggested that historically they have a record that in Alexandria, in the days of the Rishonim, they used to have a parade. The Orthodox Jews who subscribed to the Torah Shebal Peh as opposed to the Karaim. Karaites didn't accept, they didn't believe in Torah Shebal Peh. So the Orthodox Jews used to have a parade every year on Yom Kippur. Why Yom Kippur? So that's it. Yom Kippur was when Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the Luch HaShniyos. And the Luch HaShniyos, that's when this Chiddush was in this Chiddush, that there's going to be a Torah Shebal Peh. So HaTorah and Durim happens to be an extreme form of Torah Shebal Peh. The Mishnah in the last Mishnah in the first parak in Chagiga says, Het and the Durim Parchim Boavir Ve'en Lehem HaMeshe Yismochu. Means Het HaTorah and Durim is pure Torah Shebal Peh transmitted orally from generation to generation. The sound waves are floating in the air. Parchim Boavir Ve'en Lehem HaMeshe Yismochu. Usually Torah Shebal Peh, you're darshaning something by reading in between the lines in the Chumash. Here there's nothing to darshan. The Mishnah says, Parchem ba'avir, it's halacha Moshe Messina, has no more for the Gemara there in the end of the first paragraph, Chagig quotes other Tanraim who disagree with the Mishnah. They hold no, there is an institution of Hatar Sandor, but Yeshlam HaMeshe Yismach. There is a drasha. L'yachal d'bar hu'ein mechalav al-acher, mechalaloi, or other drashas, a group of Tanraim say, Yeshlam HaMeshe Yismach. It's based on Yud Gimel Mishnah Torah and Rashi's pen, but the Mishnah presents it. Otherwise, as if HaTorah and Durim is purely Halacha Moshe Sinai, there's no Makor and Chumash at all. So that's what some say. It's why we start off the day with Kol Nidre, with HaTorah and Durim, to demonstrate that today Yom Kippur is the day on which we're going to celebrate the receiving of the Torah Shebal Peh. Others give a different explanation, that in a lot of the Nusach Sfarad Sidurim, they have printed a whole passage from the Zohar before Tkiyah Shofar, that they learned before Tkiyah Shofar, comparing tshuva to Hataras and Durim. Just like when Bezdin is Matan Neder, the Oikra Neder made Korah, when the father is Mefan Nidri Beat, or the husband is Mefan Nidri Ishtoi, so the Gemara says only Megiz guys, Mikanala, but it's not Mekaruk, it's not Oikra, the whole Neder made Korah. Husband finds out about it 5 hours after the wife took the Neder. So Mikan V'Elach, the Neder is no longer binding, but the first 5 hours, until he was made for the Neder was binding. And if the wife violated the Neder in the first 5 hours, she'll get Malkus, even though the husband was made for the Neder, Mikan V'Habo. But when Bezna is Mata Neder, Bezna is Oikran Neder Meikor. So just like in Hataras and Durim, there's such a possibility of being Oikran Neder Meikor, so too if a person does tshuva well, so the tshuva can be oika, the whole aver meikor. So that's another explanation why we do Hataras and Durim, why we start Yom Kippur off with Hataras and Durim. Rav Soloveitchik had a third suggestion, that since the whole uniqueness of Yom Kippur is that we are in the presence of Hashem, there's a special Hashroas HaShchina, so we want to be Moseh Mechol HaKodesh, we want to bring the Shechina down. How can we pull the Shechina down from heaven? So the Gemara says, Elokim Nitzah Ba'adas Kel. Whenever there's Yeshiva's Bezdin, so there will be a Hashvas HaShchina. Because it's very hard for a human being to judge another human being, especially in Issa B'Heter, but even in Dinim Mamanus, how can we judge? So you need a divine assistant, you need a Hashvas HaShchina. So the Torah says, the Torah promises that that you need Sanhedrin Samach LaMizbeach, the opening Rashi in Parshas Mishpatim, that Parshas Yisro ends off with the din of Mizbach Adama Tasavi, the Mishpatim begins with the din of Abezin, so you need a Bezin Samach Lamizbeach, that the Bezin Agolos should have Ashras Hashchina, because their Pesachim will be binding on all of Klal Yisro. But every Bezin, we assume every Bezin has Ashras Hashchina. So in order to pull down the Shechina earlier, if you want to be Moshe Mechol HaKodesh, so one way to do it would be to make Hataras and Durim. If you're going to start a whole dinter, Reuven and Shimon are fighting with each other, they're ready to kill each other over $25,000. So there's going to be Lashon Hara and Mechilas, and there's going to be screaming and nasty words exchanged. So you make a test bezin with the non-nasty words. So we convene a bezin for Hatoras and Dorim. By convening the bezin, we pull the Shechina down. So that's the way to bring the Shechina before the day begins, before Shkia, and there of Yom Kippur. That was Rav Soloveitchik's suggestion, since the whole essence of the Kedusha of Yom Kippurim is that you have a special Hashvaras HaShechina with us. So the way to be Mekabel Tosef as Yom Kippurim earlier is to convene a bezin on Erev Yom Kippur. So the Ramban at the end of Yuma learns in the Gemara there that the Chachamim established that you should say Vidui before Yom Kippur enters. He thinks that that's a din deraisa lifnei Hashem to purify your soul by reciting Vidui. And then the Gemara says, they made the takana that we should recite Vidui in Mincha before Suda HaMapsekas. Why? Shema Yered Val Kakola B'Suda. What does it mean? Something always comes up. The wife says, can you please take the garbage down? Can you please wash the dish? And please take this and bring it over there and put it over there? So the guy, by the time he comes, he planned to come to Davin Kol Nidre. He plans to come to Kol Nidre half an hour early to be Maisa Mechoy Lala Kodesh Lekavid Kabbalah Yom Kippur. Then it's going to come out that he comes the last second, a second before Yom Kippur begins. He has no time. The same Vidu. So the Chacham said, "Shema Yered Val Kakola B'Suda." Something may come up, and it may be delayed, and it may not make it. May not make it to the minyan and shul in order to say Vidu right before Yom Kippur is about to enter. So that's why they moved it up earlier. They said you should say the Vidu on Erev Yom Kippur when you daven mincha before the Suda Hamasek. But then, if you do come shul half an hour early, then the Magen Avraham quotes from the Shalom based on this Ramban. You should say Vidu again. Many people have the practice of reciting the Nusach HaVidui that the Chayyadim composed. But Rav Soloveitchik said his father had the, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik had the practice when he was in the Rabbanis in Europe. He had the practice of having all the people in the Kehillah just say, okay, v'seinu, while you have to compose a Nusach HaVidui of the Chayyadim. Say the regular Vida, to say the Vida that appears in the, that you say in the Shemon Esrei, Lachat Filosa, you say that Vida, but you have to say a new Vida before. Yeah, so that's an important din. That's an important din. Then the Gemara has a Machlokes HaTanaim in the first four lines, the white lines on the Abgim Lamed Aleph. What's a din of Havinenu? Havinenu is the abridged form of the Shmona Esrei. That's called Me'ein Shmona Esrei. And Friday night we say Morgan Amos, that's called Me'ein Sheva. That's the abridged form of the seven brachas of the Amidah, the Shmona Esrei. Friday night has seven brachas, so Morgan Amos is Me'ein Sheva. Or let's say Alamichya is Me'ein Sholosh. It's an abridged form of the three brachas of the Brichas HaMazon. When you have cake or cookies, so you don't have to say Birchas Hamazon, you say Me'ein Shalosh. So this is Me'ein Shmona Esrei. Habineni, you say the Gimel Rishon is Gimel Achronis, and the middle 13 brachas we combine in one tefillah. So there's Machlokes HaTanaim in brachas, and Mishnah says Habineni only to be recited if it's a big Shas Hadchak, that's a person is sick. And he can barely, he's not well enough. So to be Matrichim, to say the whole psuk, to say the whole Shmona Esrei, it's a few pages long. So if it's too difficult, then for sure you can say Habineinu. What if a person is healthy, but just wants to have the abridged form? So that's a machlokes HaTanaim. Is it permissible to rely on Habineinu if there's no big Shas Hadchak? So we usually assume you only say Habineinu if there's a big Shas Hadchak. That's why for many years, they never had Habineinu available in a siddur. I think around 25 years ago, Art School put out a siddur that has Habineinu. There are people who are not well enough to recite the whole long Shmona Esrei. So those people should really say Habineinu. They shouldn't have to say the whole long Shmona Esrei. So the first time is of the opinion that Amatzor Yom Kippur Ba'arvis Mispala Me'en Shmona Esrei. Amatzor Yom Kippur, you can say the bridge one because everybody's in a rush. It's not a Shas HaTchak that he's so sick that he can't say another Shmona Esrei. but everybody's starving. So the first Tana says that when Mekel, you can say Habnenu, the abridged form. Next Tana disagrees, says no. There's a Takanas Chacham that you should say Hatachan Tanon Madat Teresecha in Ma'ariv Hamitzoy Shabbos Mitzoy Yonta. So if you want to say Havdalah Hamitzoy Yom Kippur, if you're going to say Habnenu, you can't insert the Hatachan Tanon Madat Teresecha there. So that's why the next Tana, that's a generally accepted opinion. That's why the next Tana says you can't recite Havinena. You have to say the long Shmona Esrei. Then the Gemara has in the end of Yuma, the last daf in Yuma, the Gemara has a Machlokes HaTanoim, a Machlokes HaMaroim. Machlokes HaMaroim, if you daven the Ila already, do you really have to daven Ma'ariv? So the Yerushalmi has a little more. You have to put together the Babli with the Yerushalmi. The Rosh at the end of Yuma talks about it. When exactly is this man of Ne'ilah? So one, there are three different opinions. One opinion is you have to finish Ne'ilah Bayom before the Shkia. Another opinion is not. You can even begin to say Ne'ilah after Tzeis HaKrochav. And the third opinion is, I think that's a wee paskin, that you have to at least start Nila Mibod Yom. Then once you start in Mibod Yom, you can finish Nila Balailo. So that's where we usually follow that opinion. We start Nila before the Shkia. You can't start Nila too early. That's what I think the Yerushalmi says, that the man of Nila is when the Chama Barosha Ilonis. When is the Chama Barosha Ilonis? So the that's around half an hour before the Shkia. Half an hour before the Shkia. Mishnah Berurah quotes the Pirkei Avodim, who is Mekel, that you can start Ne'ilah from Plag HaMincha An. Plag HaMincha An is an hour and a quarter before the Shkia. An and a quarter is much more than a half an hour before. So that's a question whether we can really rely on that Pirkei Avodim or not, because all the other Paskim say, based on Yerushalmi, it's not really right to be Magdim. This Man of Ne'ilah should really not be so early. Should only be the last half hour when the Chama Berosh Eilonos, last half hour before the Shkia. So the Gemara makes this Toli Zebizeh. Do you say if a person daven Ne'ilah, there's no need for him to daven Ma'ariv, or he still has to daven Ma'ariv? See, if you can daven Ne'ilah Balailo, if you can start Ne'ilah Balailo, so then it's not, the tefillah doesn't have to be recited davkan Yom Kippur. So then if you daven Ne'ilah, there's room to say he doesn't have to daven Ma'ariv. He's yotze with the Ne'ilah. But if you say that you have to, if you say you have to finish Ne'ilah mibod Yom, so then you can't yotze Ma'ariv with the fact that you daven Ne'ilah. That somehow totally zebze. Is it tefillah sayom or is it tefillah salayla? A lot of Rishonim say that you can't duchen balaylo because duchenin is hukash to hakros hakarbonis. Ki bom boch Hashem the shor sa levarach b'shmo. The Kohanim were chosen, it says Shevet Levi, but it means the Kohanim were chosen the shor sai to do the avoid in the base hamigdush of levarach b'shmo and to duchen. So some of the Rishonim say that there's a hekish. The Gemara has it, there's a hekish. So some of the Rishonim seem to say
Rebbe, you're muted. Rebbe, you're on mute.
I think Rebbe was disconnected.
Okay, when did I become muted? How long ago?
You're talking about Birkas Kohanim.
So many Rishonim say Pshat and the Rishonim at the end of Tainus that there's no duchening balayla. Why? Because duchening is hukah still. Sharsa the baruch bishmo, just like hakrovus karban is only bayom. So to duchening is only bayom. So you don't duchen. So if the chazan finishes nila in the middle of the night, which is most of the time that's the case, so then you can't duchen by nila. And then the Maharil quotes in Frankfurt, the meaning always was that they did duchen balayla. So and they were all opposed to that. The Rishonim were all upset about that. Maharil is upset. Why did duchen balayla? So the Maharil himself is miyashiv the minig, and the Shagasari has a sefer Gvura Sari, Maseches Tainis. I think he has the same issue for the minig of Frankfurt and Breuers. They still follow that minig, Frankfurt, that they duchen by nila, even though it's in the middle of the night. So they answer the practice. There is no such din that you can't be makor karbanis balayla. Some karbanis you can bring balayla. Michasim and Iskayim, Minchas Nesachim can be brought balayla, and Nisach Hayayin can be done balayla. Only Avodas, the Dalar Avodas Adam, Shchita Kabbalah Haloch Hazrika, the Dalar Avodas Adam in a Korban, the Shchita Kabbalah Haloch Hazrika cannot be done balayla, and in a Mincha, there are Dalar Avodas that are parallel to the Dalar Avodas Adam. The Kmitz is parallel, that's a long Rashi at the beginning of the second Perek in Saita. It's a long Tosefta. The Gemara quotes the first Talmud base in Saita, and the second paragraph in Saita, and there's a long Rashi. A Rashi explains how the Dalar Avodas of the Mincha parallel to the Dalar Avodas Adam. So the Dalar Avodas Adam or the Dalar Avodas HaMincha cannot be done by Laila. But other Avodas can be done by Laila. So Duchenin can be done by Laila. Why not? So that's why in Frankfurt, that was the meaning that they were Duchen on Yom Kippur, even though the Duchenin was in the middle of the night. And there are so many of the places they have the minig that they finish duchening by yom. They finish duchening by yom when it's still before the shkia. So then what do they do till tzeisal kachavim, till they blow shofar? So they say avinu malkeinu line by line, and the rabbi gives a sermon, gives a drush, whatever, you can fill up the time. Anyway, but that's in the Yerushalmi, in the Bavli, the end of Yuma. The last topic in Yuma is whether Ne'ilah patas you from Ma'ariv HaMatzoh Yom Kippur. So if we put together the Bavli with Yerushalmi, there are three opinions. When is the correct Zman of Ne'ilah? Are you supposed to finish the whole Ne'ilah by Bod Yom? Or you have to start the Ne'ilah by Bod Yom? Then as long as you started before the Shkia, you can finish even after. Or you can even start to begin, you can begin the Tfilas Ne'ilah Balayla. So if the Nila can be begin Balayla, then it can substitute for the Ma'ariv. But if Nila has to be Tfilas Hayom of Yom Kippur, either because you have to finish the whole Tfilah before the Shkia, you have to at least begin before the Shkia, so then it's a Tfilas Hayom, you can't be Yotzei Ma'ariv with the Nila. In Shulchan Aruch, there's a machloikis if a person ate a meal on Purim, and he benches Amatzoi Purim, whether you say Alanisim or not. Well, the same thing on Shabbos, Shalashudas. Person ate Shalashudas on Shabbos, he doesn't get the bench till after the Shkia. Or sometimes the lift at Tzeisal Kachom, does he say Ritzei? So on Shabbos and Yantav, there's more reason to be Mekel, Tos the Vilna Gaon said, because there's a concept of Tosefer Shabbos. So it's still Shabbos. He was Mosi Mechal Akar, it's still Shabbos. But let's say on Purim, there is no concept of Tosefer, or Rosh Chodesh. There's no Tosefes there. So what if a person ate the meal on Rosh Chodesh and he benches on Matzoi Rosh Chodesh? So it's a machloikis. So we pass in Halacha that a lot of people do that all the time on Purim. They eat the meal on Purim. They begin to eat the meal on Purim. They finish on Matzoi Purim. And they say, Alanis. More correct would be always to finish before the Shkia because it is a machloikis. So the Bir Agra writes over there, what is the mocha for this opinion? In the Gemara, that as long as you began the meal, Mibod Yom, it's called a Suda Shabbos or a Suda Spurim, and then you can say Ritzei or you can say Alanisim, even though it's not this, it's no longer Shabbos, no longer Purim. So the Bir Agro says the Makar is from the Ila, that the Yerushalmi says one opinion, as long as you began the Ila Mibod Yom, even though you don't finish the Ila until after Tzeisal Kachavim. But if you begin by Yom, that's good enough. Why? That's enough to be kaveh it as a Tfilas Yom Kippur. So that's what the Tzushtal of the Vilna Gaon is. If you began the meal on Purim, it's Nikva as a Sudas. When you began the meal on Rosh Chodesh, it's labeled as a Sudas Rosh Chodesh because you began on Rosh Chodesh. then even though you don't finish till later, you still say Yalla V'Yalla because it was a Suda Svash Chedesh.
Rebbe?
Yes.
Do any of the Bavlis or Yushalmis by Ne'ilah make reference to Ne'ilah Shari Mikdash? It sounds like in Tamid that they were closed after Tseis, it sounds like, no? Because they would close them and then they would immediately go to sleep with the Mafteach Tachas, the Tavla Tachas Roshayim.
I think the Bavli says, yeah, that's called Ne'ilah. One opinion is Ne'ilah because Ninalu Shari Azara, yeah. I think so. I think that's the Gemara, the last daf in Yuma Taka. Okay, maybe we will stop here, Bilinetta. Tomorrow we will continue. Okay, I got to get ready to go to this wedding today. Everyone.